Hello, everyone, and welcome to PWP Extra here at PWPonderings.com. My name is Jerome Cuse. I'm the senior editor. It's very rare that I have a chance to do interviews these days with a schedule so busy, but I did have a chance to talk with Paul Gorman twice. You will hear the second of those two conversations. The first conversation has been lost to the world of the Phantom Zone of audio, but what we discussed with Paul is Matty GTV. He's one of the co-founders and one of the owners still of this channel. And this channel is going to be posting AEW episodes every week beginning March 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It is going to be a great opportunity both for AEW and independent wrestling fans, as they will have an outlet to watch one of the top wrestling companies in the world at this point right on their television. If you do not have a Roku player at this point, it's probably going to be a very sound investment, especially if you are a wrestling fan interested in the WWE Network. Also, if you have Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, there's no reason that you shouldn't have a Roku player because you can stream content on your television. So this is a great opportunity to talk with Paul. He was very gracious in letting me do these two conversations, and I just want to thank him personally for it, and thank AEW for making this all happen. And if you would like to get in contact with us, any feedback, you can send that to mailbag@prowrestlingponderings.com. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can go to Pro Wrestling Ponderings, find us on Facebook. Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find results, links, all of that good stuff. If you go to PWPonderings.com, we are very appreciative of anyone who reads our articles, listens to our podcasts, but we also need your support. And you can support us by clicking on the Google links that you've seen maybe pop up recently in the last couple weeks. You can also click on both our High Spots and Amazon links, which are located on the right-hand side of the website. By buying and making purchases through those links, you are helping to support keep the doors open here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings. It helps pay for site costs, security, to make sure there's no malware, and any other costs we may incur. So without any further ado, my interview and conversation with Paul. Thank you very much for listening and your support. After the interview with Paul, we're just going to go straight to the music and end this show. So everybody, have a good night and thank you. Joining me on the line right now, he is one of the co-founders and still one of the folks in charge of Matty GTV. Matty GTV will, beginning March the 1st, they will be airing AAW on a weekly basis, and they are also the home to a number of independent films and independent television shows. One of their mottos is, to take only independent money. There's no corporations behind this channel, and if you have a Roku player, you can go right now and download this channel and begin watching all of the content. And coming up in a couple weeks, you'll be able to get some free pro wrestling, which is always a good thing. Joining me on the line, Paul Gorman. Nobody will ever hear the first time we did this, so we have a chance to really better ourselves, since the first one is off in the Phantom Universe of Lost Audio.
Yes. Good evening. Thanks for having me again.
All right, Paul, so why don't you tell me a little bit first about what Matty GTV is, how it came together, and sort of the significance behind it.
Well, Matty GTV is the broadcast network of Matty G Productions, which is a company that I own with my partner Marie Madison, the Matty of Matty G. And we've been making movies and TV shows for the last 15 or 16 years now. We started as just a very low-budget, independent film company, hobbyist, if you will. And as the years went by and as our catalog grew, we started getting a fan base, and we started, expanding and growing. And just in 2009, we launched Matty G TV on the web. And we started streaming our movies and shows. And just this year, 2014, we launched on the Roku Network. And that's where you can find us now, and all of our movies and all of our shows are there. Our vision has always been independence. We are not part of any corporation or any kind of Hollywood system. We're all about the indie guys, the indie showrunners. We're champions of doing your own thing, your own way, and making it available directly to the fans.
And what is your personal involvement sort of with something like this? You know, your involvement, your background, what inspired you to sort of put this all to help put this together?
Well, I started, like I said, 15 or 16 years ago. I was working for an advertising agency as a director, shooting commercials, ad campaigns, promotional spots, that kind of thing. I did that for a few years, and it sort of gave me the bug. I sort of, you know, I guess that's what spurred my independence. Instead of working for big clients, we did spots for the New York Yankees. We did spots for Michael Jordan, cologne, you know, big national spots, and I had a ton of fun doing it, and I learned a lot, and I'm like, you know what, I sort of want to dabble in a little bit of horror, and, you know, maybe some slapstick comedy, maybe, you know, some goofy stuff. I'd like to try my hand at that. So on the side, I just started, you know, shooting some short films and just doing some stuff with my friends, and it just built from there. That's my background. I never went to film school. I never, you know, have any kind of formal training. I learned right in the trenches, and I put some time in as an apprentice. I worked with filmmakers, worked on other people's crews, and just learned, you know, in the trenches, literally.
So obviously people can go to the Roku Player right now. They can download Matty G TV. This is something...
Yeah, we're in... Matty G TV and Roku is completely free. There's no subscription. You don't have to register your player or anything. We're in the channel store, in the movies and TV section, and we're all everywhere that Roku reaches. We're in the UK, we're in Ireland, Canada. We have viewers that have been sending us screen caps from Japan, Australia, countries that I didn't even know existed.
so it's truly international, pretty cool. And you know, I think this is a great opportunity to sort of discuss. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of conversation about the Roku Player and sort of, you know, the background surrounding it and the significance of it, you know, to how we consume entertainment. And we talked about this on the first show, but I'd like for you to sort of explain it again, the process of becoming a Roku channel.
Yeah, it's not expensive, but it's not necessarily easy. Matty G TV started as a web channel, and then we moved to cable television regionally in Erie County, the Great Lakes region. We've been working with a network here called IMTV, and we did a few shows with them. But what we kept hearing over and over and over again is, I don't have cable. I don't have satellite. I'm not going to pay $80 a month, you know, to access the five or six channels that I really watch. And Roku offers that as the alternative. I call it the cable box of streaming. You buy the box once, and it connects you to pretty much every streaming channel out there. To get a channel on there, you need to have what's called a developer's account with Roku. You register as a developer. There's no cost. You just have to let them know that you're doing it. You have to read their, what they call, their developer's guide. It gives you all of the specifications, size of the graphics, that kind of, the technical stuff. And then you start building your app. We use InstantTVChannel.com. Actually, you can see their logo at the beginning when our channel loads. They're a cloud-based development software, and they're awesome. The guy that owns it out there is named Scott Musser, and he's cutting edge, and he's made it really easy. It's not expensive. It just takes time. It takes time to learn it. You have to know a little bit about code. You have to know a little bit about app development, application development. But if you can get through the technical stuff, you can get on Roku. And that's really what makes Roku so special, it's almost hand-built for independent studios and broadcasters, because there's no restrictions as far as who can be on it. You don't have to be a major network. Anybody that's ever tried to get on Netflix or Hulu knows how expensive that is and knows how difficult it is. And there's, you know, a one in a million chance they're even going to accept you. Roku is the opposite of that. If you're good with the code and you can build the app to their specs, they'll put you on the channel, and then it's up to you. In fact, I had a conversation with another filmmaker friend of mine named S.V. Bell, who lives up in Canada and runs a channel called Black Flag TV. And we were discussing it was actually one of his fans said, great, but how do you compete with NBC Sports? How do you compete with Hulu and Netflix and Crackle? How do you get seen in the channel guide? And the answer is simple. You have to be good. You have to have programming that people want to watch. Because when your channel goes public, Roku puts you in the news section for a time, and it gives everybody on the network the chance to check you out. And if your programming's compelling, they'll stay.
Now, were there any issues with any of the content that you produce?
We did have issues with our content, because at the time, Roku did not have any kind of system in place or any kind of policy in place other than no adult content. Now, the people that have seen our channel and our Facebook page and stuff, our slogan is television for thinking adults, because it's not for kids. We have stuff, you know, boobs and blood and swearing. We have horror movies. We have uncensored sports. You know, if you're around football at all, you know, the coaches and the players, you know, the language gets a little rough on the bench. We don't censor that stuff. So when they saw the verbiage and they saw our graphics and they saw the type of programming, they paused and said, okay, we don't allow adults, so we have to really look at what you're doing before we can approve your channel. And we gave them some specific examples of where the nudity was, where some of the more racier subject matter is. We have a show called Inside Marie's Play Place that's set in a porn studio. It's not porn, obviously, but that's the setting. And so the scenarios, the language, you know, that kind of stuff that goes along with the theme. And they sent me an email back and said, we've actually had some internal meetings and some discussion, and we decided that, you know, as long as you list your channel properly and you explain to the viewers what you're doing, we're going to go ahead and approve it. So, while they didn't say specifically, I feel like we had a hand in maybe opening the door for some of the more, you know, racier, gorier horror channels and more HBO-style content, and we're pretty proud of that.
Now, the big question, of course, I think on wrestling fans' mind is sort of, how did you come to discover AAW, and how did they end up on your station? From what I understand, this process developed rather quickly.
Yeah, it did. It happened really fast. Another colleague of mine in the industry, his name's Mike Pringle, he's actually a fan of AAW. And when we launched the channel, he is also a showrunner, and we've been talking to him about putting some shows on, and he said, you know what would be really cool? Is if you could get pro wrestling, and you know who's the best out there is AAW, maybe you could talk to them. And he sent an email to the AAW people, and Michael sent me an email back and said, yeah, you know, we're interested in getting on this platform so we can get our shows out to the rest of the world. So once we started those conversations, we put a deal in place really fast. Within a week or so, we were announcing that we were going to be able to carry their channel, and we're going to be exclusive on Roku, as far as we're going to be the only Roku channel carrying the AEW, which we're also exceptionally proud of.
Absolutely. And what about your background? I know, you know, again, we talked about this the first time around, but from what I understand, you're not a huge wrestling fan, but this is an opportunity for you to sort of talk about your background with wrestling.
Yeah, I grew up watching it was the WWF at the time when I was a kid, with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and Superfly Snuka and you know, the classic older guys. When I was a kid, I was a huge fan, and then I just sort of fell away from it. I've always respected the sport. There's a couple of smaller wrestling promotions here in Erie that I'm friends with the guys that run it. But I've never really followed it in the last 10 or 15 years. And so when I saw the stuff that AEW is doing, I was really blown away. It's in my opinion, every bit as professional and as well filmed and the quality that like the WWE is now.
And, you know, when you watch, and have you had a chance to see an extensive amount of AEW at this point?
Yeah, I've seen quite a bit of it now.
And what are some of the things that really strike you about the product besides just the production values?
It's very in your face. In fact, I would say more so than the WWE is. It's very raw. And by raw, I don't mean like in a low-budget backyard sort of way. It's just very gritty and very in your face. It's loud. It's fast. Very hard-hitting. I think they have great stars, big names, popular names, beautiful women. They have everything that I would personally be looking for in an independent wrestling promotion. That they have it all in one package.
And for someone like you who is an outsider and, you know, really isn't in the independent wrestling bubble, you know, how does, you know, a place like the Berwyn Eagles Club look on camera?
It looks good to me. And that may have everything to do with AEW's production value and their own standards of how they light and how they film. They have a lot of cameras in the room. They're really up close. They have a lot of fan reaction. It plays really well on television. I think they're going to produce a great show, and I don't think any of the fans are going to be disappointed at all.
And, you know, obviously, what are some of the goals that you sort of have for AEW as a product on your channel?
Well, being the exclusive Roku provider for the AEW, we're certainly going to put all of our weight and promotion behind it. We want to make sure that everybody knows we have it, that everybody knows it's available for free. As far as bringing the fans, AEW has a huge fan base. And like I said earlier, they're already responding. We're already getting big jumps in our channel additions as the word gets out. Every time that they send a press release or a Twitter or the word gets spread throughout the independent wrestling community, we see those numbers tick up, and there's a real sense that the fans are waiting, and we're real close now. And the show's going to be great. It's going to be a one-hour format, 60-minute show. It's going to feature matches. There's going to be interviews with the stars, news from, or, you know, around the AEW, previews of upcoming matches. There's a ton of stuff that is packed into the show, so it's nonstop action. And it actually premieres March 5th. It's Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And something cool that we're doing with the AEW is we're going to simultaneously release it on YouTube, on their YouTube channel, and on Roku at the same time. So come March 5th at 8 p.m., you'll be able to turn on Roku, and the new episode will be there, as well as on the YouTube channel simultaneously. And then every Wednesday after that at 8 p.m. there'll be a new episode.
So it begins on March the 5th for everyone?
Yes, March 5th. It's a Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And then every following Wednesday we'll be offering a brand new episode.
All right. And I think one of the cool features about this is that people are going to be able to watch the show every week for free, as long as they have a Roku player. On demand, you're going to be putting all of the episodes on demand so that people can watch them whenever they want.
Yes, exactly. We're going to be archiving the entire series. So no matter when you tune in, if you're on vacation or you're out of the country or whatever you're doing, if you happen to miss episode one, it'll be there Thursday morning when you log in. It'll be, you know, when we're on episode three and four, you'll still be able to go back and catch up on the storylines. You can go back right to the beginning. We'll have the whole series all the time on demand.
One of the other aspects that I think is very important for wrestling fans is that about a week earlier, the WWE Network is going to be starting, and they're going to have their app on the tablet, the phone, and the Roku players. So, you know, I think AEW is making a very interesting move by, you know, positioning themselves on another channel, just as a lot of wrestling fans are going to be considering the WWE Network. What are your thoughts on sort of the WWE Network and sort of the changing face of media?
I think what the WWE is doing is very cool. Making their archives and their pay-per-view programming, from what I'm hearing anyway, available on demand on Roku and on the apps. I think it's great. I think that it's just another nail in the coffin for cable and satellite. And nothing against cable and satellite, but I think that it's sort of a dying format. It's going the way of vinyl records. It'll be around for a long time still, but their numbers are consistently dropping. And just this week, Comcast and Time Warner just merged, creating the biggest network monopoly this country has ever seen. And in my opinion, what that just means is higher prices and less options. And that just makes Roku an even more attractable, a more attractive format for the viewers to have another option. You don't have to pay exorbitant cable fees, especially, you know, what Roku does is it gives people what they've been asking for from cable and satellite. We just want to be connected and we want to watch those 6 or 8 channels that we really watch all the time. I don't need 300 channels and pay $80 a month, you know, $150 a month. You can join Roku and add those 3 channels that you like. And it gives them what people have been asking for so many years. And that's what's made Roku grow so fast. Over 10 million televisions are connected now.
I mean, what do you see as sort of the straw that's going to eventually break the camel's back as far as, you know, more and more people buying Roku players?
I think it's going to come down to content. And that's what I think is really cool about what the WWE is doing. They're adding to the overall catalog that is available on Roku. I think the main holdup with streaming in general is sports. It's very difficult to watch live sports streaming. And that has everything to do with long-term contracts with cable and satellite companies. Even with the major broadcast networks like ABC and CBS, their Roku channels are relatively thin. They basically offer what they offer on their .com sites for free. You get a few episodes here and there, but it's mostly clips, sometimes just the newest episode. There's no archiving. There's no cataloging. And I think the viewers now are a lot more savvy. They want to watch it when they want to watch it. They don't want to set a DVR. They don't want to have to make sure they're home by 8 p.m. And when the networks start catching on and they start giving the streaming audience what they really want, I think that is going to be the straw that makes cable rethink their entire business model.
Now, I'm also very curious, you know, you mentioned Netflix and Hulu sort of in passing earlier and, you know, how expensive it is. But for you as an independent filmmaker, are you sort of pro Netflix and Hulu because, you know, they're sort of piling on the dirt of cable's grave, but, you know, most of their content obviously is very is corporate influenced and, you know, has that corporate backing.
Yes, I'm a fan of Netflix and Hulu. I subscribe to both. I don't actually have cable television. I won't pay for it. I have high speed internet. I do pay for that. And then I have Roku. But I think Netflix and Hulu combined give you the bulk of what cable offers you. You get big Hollywood movies on Netflix, a lot of television shows, and it's all archived on demand. Hulu gives you next day, in a lot of cases, new television shows. Those two combined can pretty much replace cable and satellite for most viewers. I think that's good for streaming. That encourages the streaming audience to realize that you can get most of your entertainment value on streaming without having to pay for cable and satellite. And we talked just a few minutes ago about Matty G TV and the AAW positioning themselves alongside the WWE. We have done really well so far. Our channel has been growing and growing and growing. It's right now more popular than Disney XD. We beat TMZ this week. So we feel very confident going head-to-head with those major networks. There's a lot of heavy hitters. Entertainment Tonight is not as popular as Matty G TV right now on Roku. So we feel confident in our position that we're going to be able to stand side-by-side with the WWE, and I feel very confident in the AEW as far as a quality show that can compete on that level.
And, you know, I'm also very curious, are there going to be ways to track sort of numbers as to, you know, how many people are watching a given show? You know, not just for AEW, but for all of your programming. Do you have sort of algorithms or ratings, or how does that work?
It's not as accurate as we would like, and that is in the background the area that we are putting a lot of resources into, is being able to track that. What we're getting right now is hits on the videos. So I know when a video has been watched, but I don't necessarily know if somebody watched it for 30 seconds or they watched the entire one-hour show. Because what we get is data numbers. I know how many gigabytes of data was streamed, and I know how many times a video was hit. It's a very general outlook. It's a very general bit of data, and we're trying to get better software, better tracking, and streaming is in its infancy right now in reality. So the technology to do that is growing and evolving, and we're staying right on top of it so that we will have those numbers.
Can it really be any more inaccurate than the Nielsen numbers, though?
It's actually way more accurate than the Nielsen already.
So you're beating TV in that way?
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely beating TV in that way. Nielsen is a best guess at their very best. You know, they're taking a segment of maybe a million people and averaging it out. And we're already have more accurate data than that. But it's not as accurate as we would like. We would love to be able to have very specific numbers. We would love to be able to track region, like, you know, how many people in North Carolina are watching, how many people in Illinois are watching. We don't have that yet, but it's certainly in our future, and it's down the road. As these technologies and these software tracking develops further, those numbers will become available to us. We're just not there yet.
Do you have any short-term or long-term goals?
Well, short term is to just keep doing what we're doing. We're adding new programming all the time. We're getting some great new shows coming in. We're still in production. Our own company is developing and producing our own original programming as well. We just want to keep giving the fans what they're already have come to expect from Matty G TV. And long term is to become bigger. Publicly, we want to be able to do some more advertising. We'd love to be able to take out some of our own commercials on cable, on Netflix, or not Netflix, but Hulu. We'd like to be able to, as our fan base grows and our advertising base grows, our revenue streams grow, we're going to be investing that revenue into publicity and marketing and just spreading the word even further of Matty G to increase our audience.
And anything else you'd like to say about AAW or sort of Matty G TV before we let you get out of here?
Well, I'll just say basically that, you know, we're really proud to have the AAW. We're all excited to start running the show. And I'll just let your listeners know where to find us. We're on the channel guide on Roku Worldwide. We're in the movies and TV section. It's Matty G TV. We have sort of a best of YouTube channel. Some of our best episodes, you know, previews and stuff like that on youtube.com/MattyGTV. we're on Facebook, where you can find the details of day and date, new releases, what's coming up. It's facebook.com/MattyGTV. If you Google or Bing MattyGTV, you'll find us.
And any other plugs or anything before we say goodnight?
Just to say thanks to you guys and the independent wrestling community who've been just hugely supportive of this partnership that we have with AAW. We really appreciate it, and we certainly won't let you guys down. You're going to love this show, and we welcome you all to MattyGTV.
Absolutely. Paul, I want to thank you very much for doing this again. And
you're welcome.
Hopefully the next time we have you on, we're going to be talking about all those millions of dollars that AAW has made you.
Yes, I can't wait.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Have a good night, and I will talk to you later.
You too. Bye.